Illusions, The Adventures of a Reluctant Messiah by Richard Bach. Chapter 3. Throngs and masses and crowds of people, torrents of humanity pouring against one man in the middle of them all. Then the people became an ocean that would drown the man, but instead of drowning, he walked over the ocean, whistling, and disappeared. The ocean of water changed to an ocean of grass. A white and gold Traveler 4000 came down to land on the grass, and the pilot got out of the cockpit and put up a cloth sign. Fly, $3. Fly. It was 3 o'clock in the morning when I awoke from the dream, remembering it all, and for some reason, happy for it. I opened my eyes to see in the moonlight that big Traveler parked alongside the fleet. Shimoda sat on his bedroll as he had when I first met him, leaning back against the left wheel of his airplane. It wasn't that I saw him clearly. I just knew he was there. "Hi, Richard," he said quietly in the dark. "Does that tell you what's going on?" "Does what tell me?" I said foggily. I was still remembering and didn't think to be surprised that he'd be awake. "Your dream, the guy and the crowds and the airplane," he said patiently. "You were curious about me, so now you know, okay?" There were news stories. Donald Shimoda, the one they were beginning to call the Mechanic Messiah, the American Avatar, who disappeared one day in front of 25,000 eyewitnesses. I did remember that. I'd read it on a small-town Ohio newspaper rack, because it was on the front page. "Donald Shimoda?" "At your service," he said. "Now you know, so you don't have to puzzle me out anymore. Go back to sleep." I thought about that for a long time before I slept. "Are you allowed? I didn't think you could get a job like that, the Messiah. You're supposed to save the world, aren't you? I didn't know the Messiah could just turn in his keys like that and quit." I sat high on the top cowling of the fleet and considered my strange friend. "Toss me a 9/16, would you please, Don?" He hunted in the tool bag and pitched the wrench up at me. As with the other tools that morning, the one he threw slowed and stopped within a foot of me, floating, weightless, turning lazy in the midair. The moment I touched it, though, it went heavy in my hand, an everyday chrome vanadium aircraft end wrench. Well, not quite every day. Ever since a cheap 7/8 broke in my hand, I've bought the best tools a man can have. This one happened to be a Snap-on, which, as any mechanic knows, is not your everyday wrench. Might as well be made of gold, the price of the thing, but it's a joy in the hand, and you know it will never break, no matter what you do with it. "Of course you can quit," he said. "Quit anything you want, if you change your mind about doing it. You can quit breathing if you want to." He floated a Phillips screwdriver for his own amusement. "So I quit being the Messiah, and if I sound a little defensive, it's maybe because I'm still a little defensive. Better that than keeping the job and hating it. A good Messiah hates nothing and is free to walk any path he wants to walk." "Well, that's true for everybody, of course. We're all sons of God, or children of the is, or ideas of the mind, or however else you want to say it." I worked at tightening the cylinder base nuts on the Kinner engine. A good power plant, the old B-5, but these nuts want to loosen themselves every 100 flying hours or so, and it's wise to stay one jump ahead. Sure enough, the first one I put the wrench to went a quarter turn tighter, and I was glad for my wisdom to check them all this morning, before flying any more customers. "Well, yes, Don," I said, "but it seems as if Messiah-ing would be different from other jobs, you know. Jesus going back to hammering nails for a living? Maybe it just sounds odd." He considered that, trying to see my point. I don't see your point. Strange thing about that is, he didn't quit when they first started calling him Savior. Instead of that piece of bad news, he tried logic. Okay, I'm the Son of God, but so are you. We all are. I'm the Savior, but so are you. The works that I do, you can do too. Anybody in their right mind understands that. It was hot up on the cowling, but it didn't feel like work. The more I want to get something done, the less I call it work. Satisfying to know that I was keeping the cylinders from flying off the engine. Say, you want another wrench? He called. I do not want another wrench, and I happen to be so spiritually advanced that I consider these tricks of yours mere party games, Shimoda, and of a moderately evolved soul, or maybe a beginning hypnotist. A hypnotist, he laughed. Boy, are you ever getting warm. But better hypnotist than Messiah. What a dull job. Why didn't I know it was going to be a dull job? You did, I said wisely. He just laughed. Did you ever consider, Don, that it might not be so easy to quit after all? That you might not just settle right down to the life of a normal human being? He didn't laugh at that. You're right, of course, he said, and ran his fingers through his black hair. Stay in any one place too long, more than a day or two, and people knew I was something strange. Brush against my sleeve, you're healed of terminal cancer. And before the week's out, there I'm back in the middle of a crowd again. This airplane keeps me moving, and nobody knows where I came from or where I'm going next, which suits me pretty well. You're going to have a tougher time than you think, Don. Oh, he said. Yeah, the whole motion of our time is from the material toward the spiritual, slow as it is. It's still a pretty huge motion. I don't think the world is going to let you alone. It's not me they want, he said. It's the miracles. And those I can teach to somebody else. Let him be the Messiah. I won't tell him it's a dull job. And besides, there is no problem so big that it cannot be run away from. I slid from the cowling down to the hay and began tightening the cylinder nuts on the number 3 and 4 cylinders. Not all of them were loose, but some were. You're quoting Snoopy the dog, I believe? I'll quote the truth wherever I find it, thank you, he said. You can't run away, Don. What if I start worshipping you right now? What if I get tired of working on my engine and start begging you to heal it for me? Look, I'll give you every dime I make from now to sundown if you just teach me how to float in the air. If you don't do it, then I'll know that I'm supposed to start praying to you, Holy One sent to lift my burden. He just smiled at me. I still don't think he understood that he couldn't run away. How could I know that when he didn't? Did you have the whole show, like you see in the movies from India? Crowds in the streets, billions of hands touching you, flowers and incense, golden platforms with silver tapestries for you to stand on when you spoke? No, he said. Even before I asked for the job, I knew I couldn't stand that. So I chose the United States, and I just got the crowds. It was pain for him, remembering, and I was sorry I'd brought up the whole thing. He sat in the hay and talked on, looking through me. I wanted to say, for the love of God, if you want freedom and joy so much, can't you see it's not anywhere outside of you? Say you have it, and you have it. Act as if it's yours, and it is. Richard, what is so damn hard about that? But they didn't even hear, most of them. Miracles, like going to auto races to see crashes, they came to me to see miracles. First it's frustrating, and then after a while it just gets dull. I have no idea how the other messiahs could stand it. You put it that way, it does lose some of its charm, I laughed. I tightened the last nut and put the tools away. Where are we headed today? I asked. He walked to my cockpit, and instead of wiping the bugs off my windshield, he passed his hand over it, and the smashed little creatures came alive and flew away. His own windshield never needed cleaning, of course, and now I knew his engine would never need any maintenance, either. I don't know, he said. I don't know where we're headed. What do you mean? You know the past and the future of all things. You know exactly where we're going, I said. He sighed. Yeah, but I try not to think about it. For a while, as I was working on the cylinders, I got to thinking, wow, all I have to do is stay with this guy and there'll be no problems. Nothing bad will happen and everything will turn out fine. But the way he said that, I try not to think about it, made me remember what had happened to the other messiahs sent into this world. Common sense shouted at me to turn south after takeoff and get as far away from the man as I could. But as I said, it gets lonely flying this way alone. And I was glad to find him, just to have somebody to talk with who knew an aileron from a vertical stabilizer. I should have turned south, but after takeoff, I stayed with him, and we flew north and east into that future that he tried not to think about. End of chapter 3.